Good morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord to worship our King, our Lord. And thank you for the sharing, Mickey team. When I was in Tucson many years ago, we have a group of young people who will go to the Navajo Indian Reservation and do the same thing that we're doing. We go paint houses, and we go visiting people, we do a vacation Bible school. In the evening, we have a revival meeting, and so a lot of people come. And, you know, one thing, they spread around during the time of visitation, during the visitation, they said there's a Navajo Indian coming to speak to us this evening, because they say I look like Navajo Indian. So a lot of people came that evening, for 3 evenings. So I was quite flattered that, you know, they considered me as one of them. I'm so glad to be here, and I want to thank you for your hospitality. We have several brothers and sisters who brought us food, and they brought us to the restaurant, and this is a sudden hospitality, and the Christian love you have manifested in the Lord, and so I really appreciate it. And Pastor Tom will be coming, and finally he has to fix up the house so that it will be, you know, put on the market for sale. This morning I want to talk to you about Psalms. This is a very famous, the one that favorite of many people. And out of the 66 books in the Bible, my favorite book is Psalm. Out of the 150 Psalms, my favorite Psalm is the 20th Psalm. You know, when people have a problem, they're confused about their future, I invite them to read 23rd Psalm. And when people are perplexed and know what they want to do in their life, I invite them to read the 20th Psalm. Read it many times until you can memorize it. But its power is not in the memorizing of the word, but the thinking of the thoughts. The power is in the fact that it has it represents a hopeful, hopeful faith in the dealing with life. You know, I do a lot of counseling. When people have depression, they come to me for counseling. Among many things that I ask them to do, I give them 2 prescriptions. One is read the 20th Psalm. The other is the blackout, news blackout. That means don't read the newspaper. Don't, you know, watch TV for news. You know, the news are very depressive. So, but 23rd Psalm, it will bring you comfort. Now, some of you may have remembered the name Nathan Sharansky. Many of you would not remember him because he was not born at the time. He was sometime in 1986. There's a man called Nathan Sharansky. He was a prominent Soviet dissident activist. And he wrote about many things about the communist system in the Soviet Union. And because of that, he was in prison. Now, that was during the, before Soviet Union collapsed. Okay? So he was in prison. He was taken to Siberia, where he was in the labor camp. Now, when Khrushchev came to power, he advocated glasnost, this freedom society. And so, one of the things that he had done was many political prisoners were being released. And one of them is Nathan Sharansky. Now, in the U.S., it became a big story. The media even came and visited him, interviewed him. And all the story he told touches my heart deeply. He said that when he was in the prison camp, his wife gave him the Book of Psalm. And he read the Book of Psalm daily and gave him strength, gave him power, he gave him encouragement. And he didn't know how long he's going to stay there. He may not be able to get out of the camp alive. So during those years of imprisonment, he read the Book of Psalm every day. And he found comfort, strength, and insight in the Book of Psalm. Now when the time finally came for him to release, the guards took away everything he had, including the Book of Psalm. And he told the story in this way. So I said to them, I will not leave this country until you give me back the Book of Psalm. Without the Book of Psalm, I will not leave this country. And so he lay down on the snow, and he said, not another step. He saw that God couldn't do anything, so they just returned him the book of Psalm. And the book of Psalm have offered precious assurance to many people, and I'm sure it has brought strength and encouragement to you in times of anxiety, in times of perplexity. The book of Psalm has helped you. Now, we can easily imagine Nathan Zelensky, how the book had given him insight, had strengthened him in those moments, in his darkest moment in his life. And we are living in a world of turmoil, of uncertainty. And so surely we need this book of Psalm. Surely we need this, the 23rd Psalm. So my prayer is that you will find the same comfort and uplifting encouragement to the Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. What a comforting promise. Now notice that David didn't say, the Lord is my shepherd, I have no one. He just said, I shall not be in want. What is it that I want? What is it that I need? Well, I need security. Well, if I need security, the Lord will provide protection. He will see to it that I will be protected. He will watch over me. He will protect me. I need comfort. Sometimes I'm beaten. I am distressed. He will come and bring comfort to me. A little girl was asked to recite the 23rd Psalm in the anniversary service. And so she started with, the Lord is my shepherd. And then she couldn't remember the next line. She kept saying, the Lord is my shepherd. And because she was so nervous, she was not able to remember the next line. So she heard out, the Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. I think that is also true. The Lord is my shepherd. And that's all I want. That's all we need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Secondly, the Lord is my shepherd, that I shall not be lost. The one word that the Bible describes the human situation is the word lost. Jesus Christ told the parable of the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. So we are all lost. We are like sheep. We go on our way. And lost in the sea of suffering, lost in this confusing world, lost in this stressful society. Now when we are facing difficulties, when the calamities come to us, we ask the question, why? Why has this happened to me? But we have no answer. We are lost in as to what is going on in our life. Sometimes we are lost in our emotion. We don't know how we feel, you know, in the situation. Something happened to us. We don't know whether I should be angry. I should be feeling guilty. I should hate or I should love. We don't know how to feel. We are lost in our emotion. And have you ever said to yourself, I don't understand why I feel this way? Because you don't know how to feel. You see, we are very confused people. We are very lost. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be lost. Because in verse 2 it says, He leads me to lie down in green pastures. And leads me beside still waters. You know, there are many green pastures in Palestine. There are not many green pastures in Palestine. There's abundant of barren land in Palestine. So to find a green pastures is not an easy task. So a good shepherd, however, is one who will go out and scout and look for that green pasture. And then he will bring the sheep to this pasture land where they can enjoy the grass. Then he will bring them to the still waters. Now Israel seems to have either rushing stream or no water. I can understand that because I used to live in Tucson. Now, Tucson, the climate of Tucson is very much like Israel, Palestine. It's very dry. It's a desert, semi-desert place. And the water, the irrigation in Tucson is not that great because there's not much rain in Tucson. So the way they irrigate is, the road is built, is constructed according to the terrain of the land. So there were a lot of dips in the road. when the rain comes, the water will be rushing through the deeps, and there will be a sign that says, when it's flooded, do not pass. Even though the water level is very low, say, do not pass. See, because once you pass, you can be swept away, or your car can be stuck, you know, in the deep. And there's a law called stupid motorist law. So if you see the sign, and then you pass, and then you got stuck, somebody has to come and rescue you, you'll be fine. Because it says, don't do that. And you do that, you see. So, I can understand in Palestine there was rushing water. Now, the sheep will define it in the rushing stream. It will be caught, it will be washed away, and lost its life. And sometimes we are like this lost sheep in this barren land, trying to find meaning in life and to make sense out of all this nonsense. Instead, we find rushing water. And if we are not careful, we'll be swept and lost in this barren land. But the promise of the Lord said, the Lord is my shepherd, and He will lead me to still water. He will guide me in my life journey. Even though sometimes I do not understand why things are happening to me, why this and that is happening to me, I find comfort in the security, knowing that the Lord is my shepherd and He is guiding me. And the Bible says He restores my soul. Now, according to the ancient law, if a lamb were to trespass into the someone's property, for 24 hours, the property owner could claim the sheep for his own, you see, for himself. Therefore, if a sheep were to wander away, it was important the shepherd would find the lamb immediately. Otherwise, someone would claim it and take it away. So some greedy owner, landowner, would dig deep pits, see, and line the bottom with sharp stakes, and then camouflage the trap with the sticks and grass. So unsuspecting lamb or sheep would stray and fall into the pit. And the trap at the bottom of the deep pit, they would be crying, they were bleeding, but the shepherd would not be able to hear. So for 24 hours, if the shepherd could not find it, it will be taken, it will be claimed by the landowner, and he will lose the lamb. So he must not quit searching for that lamb that had been lost. Now, the Sabbath law were very strict in Palestine. On Sabbath day, you were very limited as to what you can do. You see, you can, lots of things you can do. You see, on Sabbath day, you can walk a distance called Sabbath distance. It's about 1/7 of a mile. And not more than that. You will walk more than that, you have broken the Sabbath law. You cannot cook, you cannot start a fire, you cannot heal. You see, you can, when somebody is sick, you can give him medicine enough to not to make his condition worse, to stabilize his condition, but cannot heal him. So if you give him something and he is healed, you know, you intend to help him to not worsen the condition, but you heal him, so you have broken the Sabbath law. You see, but when it comes to finding a lost sheep on Sabbath, the law is being relaxed, you see, because the Bible says, you know, Jesus Himself said in Matthew 12:11, says that, what man of you, if he has lost one sheep and he has fallen into the pit on the Sabbath day, will not lay hand of him, okay, lay hold of him and live it out. So God is like a good shepherd who goes out and restores us, bring us back to the fold where we are saved. So He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Often many of the paths that we are going, it looks safe, but actually it is not safe. We should let the lamb, let the sheep appear to be safe, but finally it led the sheep to the very edge of a cliff. If a shepherd were to lead his flock to this dead end, see, the sheep were not very clever. They were very stupid animals. See, when they come to the cliff, they do not know how to turn back. They will bump on each other and finally they will fall into the cliff. You see? And so when that happened, the shepherd will lose his good name. See, the good name of the shepherd is very important. You see, if you lose sheep like that, you do not get employed. You see, so the good name of a shepherd is very, very important. You see, so this passage refers to the fact that God leads us in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Now, the path of righteousness, what does it mean? The word righteous means conform to the norm. See, the word righteous means conform to the norm. That means if a weight is supposed to be, you know, telling you the exact weight. See, if it's cheating, then it's not righteous. So a path that is righteous means it's supposed to lead you to where you need to go. It is supposed to be straight. It's not supposed to be uneven. You see, it is the path that leads you to the right way. And if we follow the path of God, we will follow the law of God, we will follow the moral law of God, the path will lead us to the right way, to the true way. And in verse 4, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." But what a tremendous promise it is. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now, the entire psalm hinges on two words in this fourth verse. And the two words are though and true. Now, have you noticed these two words? What is so special about these two words? See, the spelling is exactly alike except for one letter. And that's the letter R. Okay, I want you to keep that in mind, okay? Because I'm going to come back to this idea later. Now notice the psalmist says, though I walk. It's not if I walk, you see? You know what it means? It means we have no choice. To be human is to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. To be human is to experience suffering, is to experience heartache, failures, hardship, frustration, and finally even death, you see? Such is the human situation. It is not if I walk through, it is though I walk through. See, to be human is to walk through. Life is going to be ups and downs. If we don't anticipate that those down times, we are going to be disillusioned when they come. See, sometimes I hear a tele-evangelist say, you know, if you give your life to Jesus Christ, everything will be alright, you'll be healthy and wealthy. And that's not true. Paul got sick, Jesus was poor, and all the disciples of Jesus Christ, except one, died of a violent death. You see? So being a Christian doesn't exempt you from trouble, from trials and tribulations. You still can get cancer, you still have you can get the Down syndrome baby, and your parents can get the Alzheimer's disease. You see? So the same difficulties that falls on the wicked are good to foreigners. The promise in the Bible is that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because the Lord, thou art with me. You see, God will take us through it. He's going to hold our hand and bring us through this valley of the shadow of death. You see, through what? Through the shadow, through the valley of shadow of death. Not the valley of death, but the shadow. The shadow of the valley of death, you see. Now, it is just a shadow. Shadow is not the real thing. Now, the shadow may arouse anxiety, may arouse fear, but it cannot hurt us. The shadow of a knife cannot kill us, right? The shadow of death cannot destroy us. You see, oftentimes we are anxious, about things that are not real. We imagine it and we exaggerate 10 times. See? Now the depression comes as a result of this anxiety. We worry about things that are not real. Now things that are real, you can deal with it. You see, so one of the things that we do in counseling for the depression is to help this person to know, to find out if you are worried about things, are they real or not. See, if they're not real, we just take it away, eliminate it, throw it out. But if it's real, then we try to deal with it. See, things that are not real, you cannot deal with it. You don't know what to do with it. But things that are real, you can deal with it. So the Bible says you are going to walk through the shadow of the valley of death. It's not real. Don't worry about it. You see, we can go through that dangerous valley without fear because God is with us. You know, there's the Christ who walked through the valley and he came out victorious. We know he is with us. We do not walk alone. We shall walk through the valley and come out victorious because he is walking with us. Some years ago, there was a plane crash in Chicago and there was no survivor. So the firefighters and rescue workers, personnel, worked through several days to receive the body parts without the body. So a newsman was said to have asked one of the workers, what is the most difficult part in the whole task that you're undertaking? And this worker said, I have done this many, many times in trying to find body parts among the rubbles. No one can ever get used to it. But he said, one of the most heart-wrenching things is to find a hand. Just the hand of a little boy with his index and middle finger crossed like this. Now, we do not know the tradition or the superstition, how it started. Crossing the fingers to wish something will come true. Now, that little boy must have his finger crossed as the plane came plunging down, wishing that it would land safely. But his wish did not come true. I have read an article by a pastor who did a study on the subject of crossing the fingers, index and middle fingers. He said that it could have been something very meaningful, very beautiful in the beginning, but has become corrupted and distorted through the years. He said this is the sign of the cross in the early church. See, Christianity was a secret society. It was an illegal organization. Christians have been hunted down by the Roman government. And so when the Christians meet, they do not know whether you are a friend or a foe. See, the crossing of the finger is a secret signal to one another, symbolizing who they are as disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, he says something very, very, very interesting. So let's go back to the first part of the verse 4. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death. Okay? Now, the one letter that differentiates the word do and through is R. Now, do you know the sign language of R? How to do it? Anybody know? It is the crossing of the middle finger and the index finger. Okay? Now, though I is the human situation, we cannot escape it. There will be heartaches, hardship, frustration, and even death. We must walk through. But R is the promise of God. This is why I mentioned this. Do you know the ancient Christian blessing, how it's done? See, it's not the drawing of the cross, you know, that way. The ancient reading is this. See, this is how it's being done. You see, the priest will say, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, bless you and preserve you. When they say to each other, this how they say it is the most profound thing that they're saying to each other. The reason I can walk through the valley is because of this R. the cross. The crossing of the fingers is a symbol of the cross and has nothing to do with, you know, wishing something will come true. Now we know that Christ has walked through the valley of the shadow of death, and He came out victorious. And we know that He is with us. We are able to walk through because of the R, because of the cross, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy." Now the background of this verse is a desert scene. Now try to picture in your mind, okay, in a vast hot desert, there's a panting fugitive fleeing for his life. He's pursued and hunted by the forces of a fierce avenger. This guy must have done something with the family, killed someone in the family, and so this avenger is pursuing him. You want to catch him, you want to kill him, you see. And he was running and running, and from afar he saw a tent. So all that he needs to do is to reach the tent and touch the rope of the tent. When he touched the rope of the tent, then he will be the guest of the tent owner of this desert man. And a guest is safe. Now it is the custom of the Middle Eastern people that the guest is under the protection of the host. To injure the guest is the mark of the deepest depravity. It's the most terrible thing that you can ever do. So one would do everything in his power to protect the fugitive. Such is the desert symbol in the text that we have just read. What is the spiritual significance? Well, they have very rich spiritual significance. The soul is a fugitive in flight across the plain of time. The soul is pursued by enemies, which disturbs our peace and threaten its destruction. And what are the enemies that are pursuing the soul across the plain of time? There are three things I can think of. Number one is the sin of yesterday. We cannot get away from it. We have been haunted by our conscience. We find no rest in our soul. So a lot of people who come for counseling for depression have no serious mental problem. But they have lots of regrets for the things that they have done in the past, for the wrong that they have done in the past. These have haunted them. They need to be relieved from their sins of yesterday. Number two is they are being pursued by temptation of today. We just walk out of our house, or we stay in the house, there are temptation everywhere. The path of our life journey is laced with snares. We can fall into temptation any time. Another enemy is the anxiety of tomorrow. We worry about our future, our career, our school. After we finish school, are we able to get a job? We worry about our health. We worry about the economy. See, these are pursuing us all day long. Where can we turn, we say? And the whole vast plain, is there a tent rope we may touch, that we may receive hospitality, that we may find food, that we may find rest, that we may find a refuge? Yes, there is a refuge. In the Lord our God is the fugitive's refuge. In the Lord our God, we are secure against the destruction of yesterday. In the Lord our God, we are secure against the menaces of today and the darkening fears of tomorrow. We are our lost guests. A table is left before us in the presence of our enemies. Our tired soul can find rest in Him. And what a tremendous promise it is. In the little part of verse 5, it says, "You anoint my head with oil." Our Western philosophy have been very much influenced by Charles Darwin. And Charles Darwin says, survival of the fittest. You know, you have to struggle to survive. And therefore, it is a very competitive society. We are always fighting, struggling. Someone said, life is a struggle. Life is a battle. When you enter into life, you enter into a war zone. You decide to live it, you must expect to be sore and to be exhausted. There will be bruises, there will be hurts. And David, thinking of the fact, said, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over." This is the imagery of the shepherd and the sheep. Sometimes as the sheep graze, as the sheep eating the grass, his head can be hurt by the sharp edges of the stone, bruised by the stones. Okay. In some days the sheep have to walk steep path under the hot, merciless sun. At the end of the day it will be tired and exhausted. And so the shepherd would stand at the door of the fold, examine his sheep as they come into the fold. Anything, any place is heard, you apply oil and on a hurt place. Instead of becoming infected, the hurt would soon heal. Also, the shepherd had a large earthen jug of water. As the sheep come in, the shepherd would deep down into the water with his big cup and bring it up brimful. The tired sheep would drink to your heart's content. Remember when you are children, when you are a child, when we bruise our finger or stomp a toe, we were coming to Mama, who would kiss the hurt away. She would hug us and say, "No pain, no pain." And she would apply some saliva on the pain part. And the saliva of Mama has mystical power of healing. And truly, the pain goes away. But we know that it is not the saliva that heals. And we know that the saliva has a lot of germs. Right? The healing part is on the heart, on the touching care, the love of Mama. The heart of Mama is healing, has healing power. And so as older children, we still get hurt. Our hearts can be broken. We can be discouraged. We can be beaten. Sometimes the burden of life can be unbearable. We have bruises all over. We need healing oil. We need the touching love. We need a lot of hugging, figuratively as well as physically. Now, study shows that hugging is therapeutic. It has healing power. When a person is in pain, you see, hugging can take the pain away. See, when someone is hugged, a chemical called endorphin is being released. It has, you know, pain-killing effect. Okay. Now, when you have a headache, you take aspirin. It's not the aspirin that kill the pain. It helps to release a chemical endorphin that helps to, you know, relieve the pain. You see. And so we need hugging. So when you hug a person, the same effect takes place. It is healing, it is therapeutic, not only physically but also emotionally. So the psalmist says, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overrun." So come to the one that dispenses the oil of healing. He knows, he cares, and he understands perfectly. And finally, he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." We need a lot of goodness and mercy. The psalmist is looking in his yesterdays. The psalmist is recalled. It appears to be one unbroken path of failures and sin. In retrospect, when he recalls all this and it impresses him, yesterday becomes the burden of today. How did they get here today? Surely it is because the goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. If it is the justice of God, the righteousness of God that follow me, I will be done. I will be finished. So he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. We have sinned, we have failed in many areas of our lives. Sure, we need a lot of goodness and mercy. And how comforting it is to know that the promise is right here in Psalm 23. And then lastly, he said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In Psalm 27 verse 4 it says, one thing I ask the Lord and that I seek, and that is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to seek Him in His temple. This expresses the longing of the soul for a sense of continual presence of God and the realizations of constant communion with Him. So my prayer is that you will have the same desire to seek the Lord and to live, to dwell in the house of the Lord. As I said, the entire psalm hinges on those two words, though and through. Though tell us the inevitability of the human situation. To be human is to suffer hardship, failures and dangers and heartaches and finally death. The Lord is our shepherd. I shall not be in want. The Lord is my shepherd. He protects me and watches over me. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not be lost. I have a sense of direction. The Lord is my shepherd, then I know I have a place of refuge, where I can have healing oil and living water to quench my thirsty soul. I'll walk through all these dangers and snares, and pains and failures, heartache and wish and hardship, and come out victorious. Though and true, only one letter differentiate them, the R, which is the cross. It is the cross of Jesus Christ that makes the difference. The ancient Greek and Latin Christo Victor, may Christ victorious be victorious in life. And this is my blessing to you, and let us do the same to each other. Bless each other. Let us pray. Our Father, our God, we thank you for your word. We pray that your Spirit will continue to guide us, and that we may continue to meditate on your word, that we may not sin against you. Speak to us, Father, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.